just say thanks for being here. So glad to see you here this morning, Crossroads. And we've been doing a series called Go Big, and this is what I believe. This is what I believe. I believe that you are people who are praying for people that are far from God and making that a practice in your life. I believe that you are people who are willing to spend time with people that are far from God in the hopes that they would come into a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. And I believe you're people who desperately know that there is a need to share the good news with those people, that they need to hear the truth about what God has done for them so that they can have life and life abundantly in Jesus Christ. And even though I believe those things about you and I believe there's also some reservations that you might be thinking, man, I agree with Pastor Rod and Pastor Jeff. I agree that I should be going and God wants to use me to reach people. But, I mean, I'm just not sure I'm going to do it. I'm just not sure. Can I tell you, I was that person. I was scared to death. I knew I wanted to. I wanted to be a part of what God was doing to reach people, but I just didn't know if I could. And I think I know what's holding you back. It might be what was holding me back. Now, Jeff last week did a great job laying out different objections and laying out great reasons to believe that we don't have to fear those things. But the thing that was holding me back that might be holding you back is you think I've got to change who I am in order to be used to reach people. In fact, you might think that you need to look a lot like this if you're going to be reaching people. What do I mean by that? That if I'm going to be doing evangelism or sharing my faith, that I try to get people in a corner, hold them still, and then hit them over the head with the truth. And most of the time when we've seen it done like this. Bullhorns, signs, abrasive, obnoxious, hammer. And you're like, if that's what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not sure that's what I'm going to be doing. Can I tell you today that I got some good news? You don't have to be that way. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to change fundamentally who you are in order to share the good news. In fact, you can just be you. I was talking over breakfast with a young guy. He was an articulate, godly young man and just getting to know him. And he's telling me about his walk with God, and I was super encouraged. I was like, well, tell me about people you're trying to reach for God. Like, tell me how you do evangelism. And he says, well, I don't really do that. I said, okay. And so then through the course of the conversation, he kept telling me about coworkers he's praying for and the conversations he's having at work and other ways he's trying to reach people just in this circle of influence. And I said, wait a minute. Andrew, you said you don't do evangelism, but I hear you having these conversations about the Lord with people that need Him. And he's like, I said, why do you think that you don't do evangelism? He said, because I don't go out on the street corner and witness to people out on the street. I said, Andrew, you don't have to have the hammer. You can just be you and share the good news. In fact, I want you to, if you don't leave with anything today, I want you to realize that God has wired you uniquely and distinctly to reach the people He's putting in your life. And He doesn't need for you to change or become something you're not, that He wants to use you the way you're wired to reach people in your life. In fact, I want to look at a bunch of different styles of how we can do that today, but I want to start from Romans 12:6 and just start with a very foundational truth. And he says this, he says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now, we understand this. We look around the room. We look different. We act different. We have different gifts. This is talking about spiritual gifts. And what he's saying is, in the church, God has given people different spiritual gifts to be used to help the church function and for people to minister to one another, and different gifts in order for the mission of God to make disciples of all nations to happen outside of this church. And we could go, yeah, of course, we agree with that. We also need to agree that we're different in a lot of other ways. We have different personalities, different favorite college football teams. We won't talk about that today. We got different passions. And as we're about to see in the scripture, there's different evangelism styles that you and I have. So let's jump in these together. I want you to just, we're going to run through these, and this is going to be a little interactive. I'm going to need you to, when I ask you to raise your hand, if it fits you, I want you to raise your hand. But let's look at the first style. In fact, here's the blank if I didn't give it to you already. You can just be you and share the good news. Isn't that good today? You can just be you and share the good news. All right, so the first style I want you to see is this. This is Peter in Acts chapter 2. He says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead." Now, Peter is saying this to the people who did this. It's your fault. The reason Jesus died is because you wanted them there and you put him there. He's totally in their face. He looks a lot like that, doesn't he? And he's just warming up. Listen how he concludes. He says this, "Therefore, let Israel be assured of this. God, who has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." He said, you crucified him. It was you who put him on the cross. It was you that wanted him there. It was you that released Barabbas. It was you. And he's bold, and he's calling these people who could just grab him and do the same thing to him. He's calling them out and saying, it's your fault. And he's bold. And he's brave. See, if you're like Peter, you have the direct style. You have the direct style. You just tell it like it is. You're not afraid of the consequences. You're not afraid of what people think. You're going to put the truth out there and just let it be like it is. And there's a place for that. Can I just ask? Let me relate it to something. I'm going to try to relate all these evangelism styles to a shopping style. Do you guys know that you have a shopping style? At least this is my theory. Go with me. All right. So if you have the direct style of shopping, this means like you're online shopping, you can finish, check out, and pay in like 3 clicks. Bing, bang, bung, I'm done. I want that, I get it, it's in my cart, paid. If you go to the store and you have this direct shopping style, you go in like a laser and you don't even see the things on the shelves. You have one thing to go get, you go get that one thing and you grab it and you go check out and you're out of there. Going in for the kill. Who shops that way, by the way? That's my people right here. Who wants to be in a store when you can be watching football? Okay, anyway. Show of hands then, how many of you think you have this direct style of sharing your faith? Okay, don't be ashamed. Yeah, you know what? You're my people because this is my style. I just tell it like it is. Just tell it like it is. And honestly, there's a place for the hammer. But we're gonna look at how we're supposed to use the hammer, okay? Look at what he says. I would say if God were so bold to you about the people, about the faith and the life and the joy and the peace that can come from a relationship with Jesus Christ, tell them because they need to know. But you need to balance it. In fact, we're going to reference this verse a few times. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, revere or set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that you have." Listen to this. "But do this with gentleness and respect." Gentleness, if you have the direct style, gentleness and respect. Don't kill them. Tap them. Don't kill them. Tap them. Be gentle, be respectful. Don't come on too strong. Don't be bold, but don't be obnoxious, right? Like find that center area where you can operate with this style and not push people away, but actually be used to draw people to the Savior. Whoop, whoop. That was not planned. I'll be more gentle, I promise. So since this is my style, let me just ask you, The decision that's before every single person that Peter put before that crowd in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 is the same decision that sits in front of every single person today, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and the sins that put Jesus there are from you and me. And the decision you and I all must make, every single person, is, will I receive Jesus Christ as the forgiver of my sins and the leader of my life, acknowledging that it was my sins that put him there and that I need to ask for his forgiveness? Have you made that decision? We'll get back to that. The second style I want you to see from Acts chapter 17 says this: and as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. So Paul's strategy, he'd go into a town and he'd go to the synagogue, and these were Jewish people that were following the Jewish Old Testament and the Jewish customs and the Jewish sacrificial systems, and he would try to talk to them. And so he says, if that's what you believe, Old Testament, then let me start with some Old Testament prophecies, and let me show you that these things that were predicted about the Messiah, the one who was going to come, were actually fulfilled by Jesus, and that you can put your faith in him. And so he started with that, and he built a bridge to Christ, using logic and reason in order to convince people that Jesus really was the Son of God. If you're like Paul, you have the intellectual style. The intellectual style. How many of you think you might have this style? Well, you love to use apologetics and research and fulfilled prophecies, and you like to dig into Scripture. A few of you are smarter than I thought you were. You're the brainiacs among us. And you love learning truth and understanding more about what God's word says, that you have more things that you can talk to people about faith in Christ. So if this was a shopping style, you're the people that you look up the specifications on every product you're going to buy. You know the dimensions of things you're going to buy. You do side-by-side comparisons of other products and other models and make sure you've figured it all out. You got like pages of research. How many of y'all do that, by the way? Okay, I'm coming to you next time I got to buy something. You can help me. Because the truth is the truth and the facts are the facts, and those are helpful to us. See, God made you a thinker. To help other people think about things that are really important. God made you a thinker so you could get people thinking about God and faith and Jesus and what is this life all about, and is God's words true? And if it's true, then what is the implications in my life? And that's so needed in a culture that we live in. Guys, you understand that most people don't understand the truth of God anymore. Most people don't understand the very basic and fundamental beliefs and truth of what we believe. They don't even know. They don't even have any sort of idea, answers to life's greatest questions. And you've got the answers they're looking for. You got them. And if this is your style, can I just encourage you, keep studying. I mean, keep digging in. Flex that big old brain. I mean, just put more ammunition in, more ammunition. You have more things you've learned, more videos you've watched, more research you've done, more scriptures you've studied, more scriptures you've memorized. And you've got all this arsenal. So then, as you're studying, then look for opportunities to tell others, to explain the things you understand and help them understand. You can help people understand the gospel. The danger with this one is just passing on information and facts. So if I could warn you about anything, is don't stop with the facts. Because information doesn't change someone's life. Jesus changes people's lives. And so what we're looking for isn't information, but transformation. So as we're sharing intellectually the good news about Jesus, at some point that has to become, what do you believe? And what are you going to cling to? And what is your faith in? And you ask those bold questions. Third style, let me set the scene a little bit. It's about a blind man. And he was blind from birth, and Jesus heals this guy. And the Jewish religious leaders didn't like that. They didn't like Jesus particularly, so they're looking for some reason to accuse him of something. And so they bring in the guy who'd been healed, and they're asking him all these questions about Jesus, and you know he didn't have a lot to say. So they do their homework. They find his parents. I don't know how they did that, but they bring in his parents, and they start grilling his parents, and they didn't want anything to do with these guys. They're like, he's old enough. Like, they throw their kid under the bus. They're like, talk to them. Talk to my kid. Get me out of here. And so they bring the son back in, this guy who's been healed, and they said, just tell us. This Jesus is a sinner, right? This Jesus isn't to be trusted. This Jesus isn't who he's portraying himself to be, right? And I love the man's answer. He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. I was blind and then I encountered Jesus and now I can see. That's what I do know. And his story is a powerful story. This man had an encounter with Jesus. He didn't have all the answers. He didn't have it all figured out, but he did have a story. And he said, I can tell you my story. And if you're like the blind man, then guess what? You have the testimonial style that you love telling people how your encounter with Jesus changed your life and how when you were in a dark place, he lifted you out. And when you had this problem, he was right near, like closer than a brother. And you love telling the story about how Jesus has saved you and is continuing to work in your life. It's the testimonial style. If you are a shopper, I live with one of these. You don't read the specs. You don't care how much it costs. You do want to read the reviews, though. I want to know every, oh, that's only 4 stars. Oh, they gave it 3.5 stars. Oh, this isn't any good at all. And they deep dive into the reviews. Because, man, what other people are saying about it, that's what I care about. Right, Mama? She's like, just skip all that. Go to the reviews. Okay. See, if this is you, you love telling your story about how God changed your life. That I was far from God and he brought me near. How I was separated from the living God, yet through the forgiveness and the sacrifice of Jesus, I've been forgiven. How I was lost, but I was found. I was incomplete and there was something in my life.
I'm giving them a chance up there. There they are, see? I had confidence in them. So if this is you, have I asked for your hands yet if you're the testimonial style? Show me. You just love telling people about what God has done in your life. Man, that is awesome. You know, nobody can argue with your story. They might argue prophecy and they might get mad at the direct person, but if you've got a story about what God has been at work in your life, what are they going to say to that? They're going to go, man, maybe there's something to that. If this is your style, can I just give you a couple things I would love to see you do? One is you got to be ready. So first thing is if this is your style, take the time to write out your story. Man, this was a problem in my life, and I didn't know that I didn't have the answer. I didn't have a way out. And then I met Jesus, and he came through, and he saved me, and he loved me, and he forgave me. And now my life is different and changed. And you take the time to write that out. Don't write a novel. People's attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. If it's 5 minutes or less, you're doing good. But write out your story and then practice your story with somebody you trust. Some of you know that's not going to make fun of you or, you know, somebody safe in your house or friend. And practice telling your story with someone safe so that the moment that you've got a chance with someone that doesn't know Christ, you're ready. And you can just let it rip. and share your good news through your story, how God's worked in your life. I'll tell you something, your story's powerful. And maybe more than any other approach, people can relate to story in your story because they know you and they trust you. And if you're saying this Jesus did something remarkable and profound in your life, they're going to take notice. So use your story. Next style is about Levi. Now, his name is Matthew also. Listen to this. It says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Now, a couple weeks ago, I talked about this story from the perspective of Jesus, how he was a friend of sinners, right? And he spent time hanging out with people that other people didn't want to hang out with. In fact, they were condemning him and say, man, you're hanging around prostitutes and sinners and these low-life people. And Jesus said, absolutely I am. That's who I came for. That's who I love. I love everyone. But I want you to know, I'm not judging people. I came to save people and offer forgiveness of the Father. But I want you to also see the story from the perspective of Levi or Matthew, that when he encounters Jesus and he says, hey, come follow me, the first thing Matthew wants to do is get all of his friends near Jesus. And so he throws a party with a purpose that he could get the disciples and Jesus and these people that are following God around other people that aren't following God and let those relationships do their work. If this is something you love to do, you like hanging out with people that are far from God, then if you're chips and building, you've got the interpersonal style. You love using relationships and building relationships with people, and through the warmth of your relationship, the trust that you've built in relationship, the fact that you're easy to talk to and you can be relatable to other people, and that God wants to use and leverage that to draw people to himself. Remember a couple of weeks ago we'd used the Legos to talk about extroverts and introverts? Some of us have lots of places to plug people in. We have lots of relationships. And some of us are the smaller Legos and we only have a few slots. Listen, you can be interpersonal style whether you're an extrovert or an introvert. It's just the number of people that you want to connect with. That's the only difference. So regardless of what your personality is, God may give you this style where you just love using relationships, becoming friends with people. And in the context of that, sharing Jesus. Let's just ask you, how many of you would say, this is my style? Awesome. Awesome. This is usually the most popular one. Now, I asked you for your hands first. No, I'm sorry. So if this had a shopping style, these are the people that if they notice something they like that you have, they ask you about it. Hey, where did you get that? It's a nice truck, Doug. Where'd you get that truck? Ooh, girl, I love those shoes. Where can I get some? And you're just asking. You get those referrals like that. It's through relationships that you build your wardrobe, I guess. But you have a knack for relationship, and you use that and leverage that to share the good news. Can I give you a, if this is you, I want to give you just a challenge. Remember the verse I said for the hammers, they need to be gentle and respectful? Well, that same verse said, always be ready. Always be ready. See, the danger with the interpersonal style is this relationship is important to you because relationships are important to you. And because you don't want to jeopardize the relationship and you're afraid of what they might think of you and they may reject you or treat you differently or whatever the fear may be, because there's that fear, then I just don't lean in. I don't ever say what I need to say. And I don't bring up my faith, and I don't talk about prayer, and I don't talk about church, and I definitely don't bring up Jesus. Can I just challenge you, if this is your style, to always be ready. Always be ready to give an answer. And Jeff talked about last week, look for that open door in the conversation, because they're your friend. And you look for ways to tell them, well, what most important to you, a relationship with God. Fifth style. Jesus meets a woman at the well, and this is from John chapter 4. And they're just having a conversation about water, and Jesus, the master evangelist, turns it into a conversation about spiritual things and spiritual water, living water. And so he leads her to what I believe is his faith in the Father and faith in Jesus as the Savior. And they have this incredible conversation. And she's so excited about Jesus and who he is that she runs back to the town. And this is what the story says. Then leaving her water jug, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. See what she did? The whole town comes out. She's like, "You have got to meet this guy. This is unbelievable. This guy's different than anyone else I've ever met. You have got to come with me to meet Jesus." So if you're like the woman at the well, you have the invitational style. You just want people to come with you. Hey, you've got to check this out. You've got to experience what I've experienced. You've got to come with me. And you have the ability to influence people. Like if you get excited about stuff, other people get excited about stuff. You say, "Man, you got to come with me." They say, "Okay, let's go." And you're an influencer through invitation. See, she was a bringer. She just brought people with her. Some of you have this gift. And you love inviting people to things. I mean, you invite them to everything you go do. Like, if I'm going to go, I might as well bring a friend with me, right? So you're just always bringing people, and in not even spiritual ways. But then, obviously, for like you're someone who invites people to church or invites people to a concert, a Christian concert, or you might invite them to a small group or Bible study you're in. You might invite them to a church event. So I was, there's a guy on my Go Big list. I've been praying for him for several years now. And we've had conversations about Christ and who he is and does he believe he's the Son of God. And we've gone the deep dive. I got out the hammer a little bit, did a little tapping. And then he kind of backed up, so I put the hammer away. And I shifted into interpersonal because that's my second style. And so I've been inviting him to church, and he's turning me down several times. I'm coming to church, and I saw him this week, and I invite him to church, and he's like, "Man, that's okay." I was like, "Dang, man, how am I going to get this guy?" No, God said, put the hammer away. All right. And I thought about our harvest hoopla, and I was like, "Man, I know you got young kids. We're going to do this really fun family event. It's going to be a lot of fun." I was telling about candy and trunks, and he's like, okay. And I said, "We're going to have a petting zoo there. When I said that, he's like, "What?" He's like, "Man, my wife and kids would love to go to the petting zoo. Man, I'll see you there." I was like, "Got him." I thought that anyway. I was like, yes. Because what I know is one invite can change a life. I'm looking at people in this crowd that one invite to church literally changed their life and changed the course of their family. Because one invite can change a life. And if this is you, man, just leverage that. Just lean into that. We got invite cards you can use. We got flyers. We got websites. We got all kinds of tools you can use to invite. You can send people links to the service. You can do all kinds of things. Like, this is easy in my head. This is the easiest one where you can just say, "Hey, come check it out. Just come check it out." So, did I already ask you? Is this your style? Do you have the invitational style? Did I ask you guys that? Let me see. Who's got the invitational style? I know it's more. Oh, there we go. Okay, good. Now, I asked for your hands before I told you the shopping style, because the only thing I could think of, and forgive me, was multi-level marketing. Because you're like, "I love Amway, and if you start loving Amway, and then if your friends start loving Amway, we just start inviting everybody to be Amway, I can get rich." No, I mean, we can all love Amway. Something like that. I don't know, anyway. Younger generation is like, "What's Amway?" God says, be a bringer. Did you know a recent survey, American adults, just happened? They said that 25% of American adults would accept an invitation to church if a friend invited them. One out of four of your friends, because you care about them, because you're their friend, they would say yes to you saying, "Hey, let's go to church together." That's incredible. It's incredible. Well, there's one more style. And I'm going to guess this is a name you're not familiar with, that you can just gloss right over in the scriptures. And her name is Persis. Listen to this from Romans 16. It says, "Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord." See, what Paul's doing, he's writing to this church in Rome that was making waves in the Roman capital of the city of Rome, where the elites of the empire would have lived, where the philosophical people, the wealthy people, where the people that worshiped pagan gods and had all kinds of sinful habits in their life. These were people so far from God, the hardest nuts to crack. And he said, "You know what? I want to give recognition to somebody who's making a difference, and her name is Persis." And the way she's doing that is she's not grabbing a hammer and she's not being outlandish or loud. She's using her hands and she's helping people in need and she's giving of herself sacrificially. And when there's a problem, she's the first one to go meet it. See, this Persis, there's something different about this Persis and the hard nuts in Rome who wouldn't have listened to Paul or Peter or these other big mouth guys. They took notice of this woman named Persis. Why? Because she's willing to serve them. And they had to be thinking, man, what's wrong with this woman? How can she be so compassionate and gracious and helpful and kind and giving and generous and over again? There's something about this woman that is drawing me, that maybe what she believes about this guy named Jesus, who she claimed was the Son of God and died on a cross for the sins of the world and rose from the dead. Maybe there's merit in that because her life is telling me something profound. See, if you're like Persis, you have the serving style. And you may not even know that God wanted to use that for evangelism, but he does. So you prefer to be behind the scenes and let your actions do the talking. If it was a shopping style, you're the people, you go straight to the demo model. You want to get the floor model. You want to put your hands on it. You want to touch it. You want to flip the switches. You want to plug stuff in. My daughter's laughing because this is her. If they got a 30-day trial, you're going to use 29 and a half days. You're going to test it out. There was a day that if you wanted to buy a car, they would let you drive it home for a few days. But you're the one that wants to test it and try it first, hands-on. Let me just ask you, how many of you would say, yeah, I think I have the serving style of evangelism. I love helping people and using that God would use that to draw people to himself. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. This is what I believe. It's the hard nuts that God uses you with the most. It's where words fall short, but your life is just so remarkably different. They go, man, there's something to this. And it's the long game. It's not a short game. It's a long game. But over the course of time, just if this is your style, be patient. Keep serving. Keep loving people, keep showing them, keep being the hands and feet of Jesus, and understand this, the same thing I told the other style is be ready. There's going to become a day, there's going to be a point where you're going to have an opportunity to put words to those actions. So be ready. And say, so you want to know why I serve you? You know why I'm glad to do this for you? Is because somebody named Jesus, the Son of God, served me. He laid down his life for me, and he laid down his life for you. And because he's already done that for me, who am I not to do that for you? And you just shared the gospel, the good news, with somebody who needs to hear it. So, can I just challenge all of us to be ready? He says, always be ready to give an answer. Whatever your style is, I hope you just like, man, that's me. And I'm going to embrace that. I'm going to challenge you to use it this week. There's find a way to say, if this is my style, God, then give me opportunity. I'm going to look for opportunity to be used by you this week, that somebody far from God can take a step closer to God. I know how scary that can be because I still remember the first time I got involved with something like that. I was a student in college. I'd been a believer for several years, and I had nothing to do with sharing my faith, never, not once. And a guy who was discipling me named David, we had done an outreach event with the group I was with, and he said, hey, we got some follow-up cards, kind of like our Connect cards. And he said, there's a guy on your dorm down the hall from you that said he wanted more information about what it means to be a Christ follower. I want you to come with me and help share the gospel. And I said, oh, no, thank you. I said, you have got the wrong guy. I don't do that. He's like, all right, listen, all I need you to do is introduce yourself and pray. And I'll do the rest. I'll talk to him. I said, okay, I can do that. And so we went to his room. I introduced myself. I got that right. I was super proud of that. And then I began to pray for this young guy, my peer, as this guy was sharing to me the most amazing news that anyone could ever hear, that the God of the universe loves them and wants a relationship with them. And he laid down his life so that could be possible. And he wants to live every single day in that guy's life. And so if they would just turn to Christ and put their faith in Jesus as the Son of the living God, the Savior of their soul, that they could have a new life. And it was the most amazing conversation I'd ever been a part of. And I don't know if you've ever had this. You're like, my heart is burning inside of me. And I was like, man, I want to be a part of these kind of conversations the rest of my life. And I don't know what happened that day, but I got hooked. And I wanted to be able to be that guy that someday I could have a conversation with somebody that they could hear the most amazing news, the news everyone needs to hear, that there's a God who loves them and he sent his son Jesus so they could know him. Let me just ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? You don't have to change who you are. You don't have to be something you're not. Just the way God's made you in the sphere of influence you have, God wants to use you in the lives of your neighbors and coworkers and fellow students and the people in your life, your friends and your family, that right where you are, God can use you. I believe that he will. I also want to go back to the question I asked very early on. I don't want to assume anything. And just like Peter stood up and said, listen, today's the day of decision. Today is the day that you are accountable for a decision, that God's waiting on you to say yes to Jesus Christ, knowing that just like the sins of those people in Acts 2 put Christ upon the cross, the reality is that your sin and my sin put a Savior named Jesus on a cross where he bled and died for the payment of our sins. And the decision before each one of us today is, have you made that decision to make Christ the forgiver and leader of your life? Let's pray. The Father in heaven, I give you thanks today that the good news is really good news. That you want a relationship with us, to forgive us, to accept us, to remove the flames of hell and offer us the gates of heaven through a Savior named Jesus Christ. And Father, what we are powerless to do on our own, you've done for us. Because the truth is, not a person in here is a Christ follower or a Christian because we live in America. And we're not a Christian because we attend church. We're not a Christian because we know something out of the Bible. And we're not a Christian because, well, my family were Christians. The only way you become a Christ follower is by choosing Christ, by turning from your sin and turning in desperation to Jesus as your only hope for forgiveness and acceptance from Almighty God. Today, that is the offer on the table. And Jesus says, come to me and let me wash away your sins. Come to me and let a new life begin. Come to me and know the Creator in heaven who loves you today. That's the choice before you. As you make that choice today, send your invitation. God, today I say yes to your invitation. And I know I need Jesus in my life. My sin condemns me before you. So I turn to Jesus for forgiveness in full, complete restoration to God, and a new life in him to rescue me from hell and give me a home in heaven. Today, I choose Jesus. God, I thank you for that beautiful choice you give us. And God, I thank you for the privilege of each one of us that we have to be carriers of that message to people who need to hear it. And God, that you wired us to do it exactly the way you want us to. God, would you permanently and forever remove the barrier that I've got to be something I'm not, to follow you in this, to obey you in this, to have the joy of sharing my faith with people that need Jesus. Just tell God, God, I fully step into what you've made me. And I want to follow you in leading other people to saving faith in you, Jesus. God, we thank you for the privilege and honor. Would you get all the glory as we do? In Jesus' name, amen.